Well, good morning and welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Midtown. We are here to remind you that such is the nature of life, capital L life, that all it wants and all it asks is the opportunity to appear. You're that opportunity. So am I, and so it is. It is the very nature of things that this energy, this power called life moves through and shows up as each of us. And because it is showing up as each of us, we honor each of you for who you are, whatever your designation, whatever, however you understand yourself or call yourself, he, him, her, she, they, we, all of those pronouns, all of those thoughts and ideas are honored and recognized here by each of us. We also recognize and honor you for your ethnicity, your racial beingness, however you name yourself in the world, because all of those individual expressions are the infinite, are God itself showing up as a particular, in a particular way, at a particular time, in a particular space. And that is who you are. So we love you. We appreciate you. We're glad you're with us. We're glad you're listening to us wherever you are and whatever, in whatever way you do that. And we invite you to join us, to pull up a chair and have a seat and listen and watch and do that from the perspective of listening just as much to that which is inside of you, to the answers, the thoughts, and the responses to what you're hearing, as you are to my voice or anything else going on around you. So we do this, we teach, we speak. Our center is one for training and teaching people how to work within a universe of oneness, a universe of one power. So many of us have grown up and have been trained in how to live in a universe that has two powers, even though in this teaching, we recognize that that is not the whole truth. The whole truth is we live in a universe of one power. You have the freedom and the power and the ability to operate there in a way that is far more effective than thinking in terms of two-ness. So I'm not going any further. I'll be into my talk. So let me ask you to listen to some of what we teach, some of what we believe. These are our affirmation of principles. I believe.
I believe in one God.
One absolute power and first cause to all things.
I believe that this power is perfect love.
And creates out of a desire to express love.
I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience.
I believe in the unity of all life.
And the immortality of the individual soul.
Forever unfolding.
I believe in the eternal goodness.
The eternal goodness of God.
The eternal loving kindness.
And the eternal givingness of God to all.
And so it is.
And so it is.
And so it is. And so it is. Which is another way of saying, amen, I attach my belief to what you just said, or what I just heard. So today I'd like for us to spend a little time in thought and a little time in meditation and prayer. As you know, we've been through a lot in this country, in the USA, at least in the last couple of weeks, with the shootings, with the deaths of so many people. And so much outrage and rhetoric has emerged about that. I would like for us to take a few moments and use our form of prayer, the form of prayer that we teach, the form of prayer that we use for with each other and with anyone else who is open to learning and knowing about it. And we're going to do that with my guiding you a bit and thinking about some things, as well as in actual speaking some words that hopefully will bring some peace. One of the things we know is that our individual versions of life, our individual consciousness, is unique, is linked with the whole, with the universal. And I'll talk more about that when we get to the talk. So that when I pray and when you pray, or when I do it, what we call a spiritual mind treatment, which is our version of prayer, we are affirming truth. We are standing in truth. And we are making sure that that truth is what we really believe. And embracing it, it awakens it within us. It also awakens it with anyone else who we feel connected with, and anyone else who is in any way connected with us. When you hear your name, in some ways you're connecting with everyone who ever heard their name as the same as yours. If you are someone who uses prayer and meditation, every time you pray and meditate, you're connecting with the prayers and the meditations of all people who ever have done that. In a world of unity, in a world of oneness, that's what's going on. So you're not only buoyed up by what you're thinking and praying for or deferring or declaring to be true, but you're also then engaging with all of those millions of people who have the same ideas and the same connectedness. So I would like for us to take a few minutes just to settle quietly into a moment of thinking about who we are. So I want to invite you first to give some thought. Just kind of, if you feel comfortable closing your eyes, do that. If not, of course, whatever, however you're moved. But I want to invite you to do that, but to give some thought to what am I really believing and feeling about what this infinite is, this universal something, this God, if you will, this infinite intelligence. There are lots of names and words for it. But what is it for you? What is it for me? And I will speak my words in each part of this. But the word that matters the most is what you're hearing and feeling and experiencing in yourself. So I settle to take a moment and fill in the blanks of God is, life is, spirit is. And I am recognizing that spirit is one universal, unified field of energy and information that is flowing through everything that has, that everything that is, ever has been, ever will be, is an expression of that unified field of information. An infinite can only have one version of itself because it's only one. So I know and believe that I am living and immersed in an infinite power, an infinite intelligence, an infinite that carries within it everything that is existing anywhere and ever has or ever will in the world. Therefore, the infinite power of love vibrates through my very being. The infinite power of beauty, of peace, of harmony, of fire, of energy, of excitement. The infinite versions of those things are available all around me and in me and through me. And by this moment, I recognize because of that, since I am made of this one something, then all of that is available to me individually. And so I open my heart and mind to a better idea of who I am. Now I allow my mind and my imagination to carry me through an expression of that. Great peace and great power. And since I am immersed in this energy, this power, this love, this life, this infinite intelligence, everything I say, think, feel, and express comes from it and through it. And so I stand and declare in this moment peace. Peace on earth. Peace in the hearts of all people who are open to that peace. I declare for myself and others a great sense of love and compassion for those who have been through trauma and pain this week. And any week, not just the ones we hear on the news, but anywhere that someone has been harmed physically, emotionally, and intentionally by someone else's distorted thinking, someone else's distorted behavior. And I hold those people and those families in very high regard of love. So that in the midst of pain, every breath we take, every breath they take, every breath that is taken, breathes in a sense of infinite love, compassionate support and comfort, which may seem almost bizarre considering how much pain some people are in. But the comfort comes, and it comes easily and freely, and is already in them available to be awakened. We honor the human experience of pain and suffering as along with the human experience of peace and harmony and love. We stand in this awareness that the ebb and flow of life, the ebb and flow of humanity, of human experience that goes on inside of each of us, goes on in our collective world as well. And we stand for the flow and the ebb of goodness, the flow and the ebb of love, the flow and ebb of peace, harmony, and respect. Any ideas that may have floated through my mind of blame and harm and who should be attacked and who should pay and which group is right and which group is wrong or who's responsible or who isn't, I let all of that go as I settle into this infinite field of love and harmony and peace. And I see that peace and harmony applied to all of those situations, including applied to the very idea of it no longer occurring on our planet. Of human beings awakening and finding that attachment and key that allows us to lovingly honor and respect all differences of opinion, of thought, of characteristics, of self-identity, all of those differences. I see them surrounded and filled with love. And as I do, I feel within me this energy of direction, this energy calling me forth to action. And I listen to that within me and take the action I'm called to do. Plan on it. Look forward to it. Know that as this call to action is coming from within me, God itself will make the opportunity and will present the places and ways for me to take action. Out of love, out of compassion, out of a desire for a better world. And so knowing this with ease, with grace, I fall into great gratitude. Gratitude that we live in a world where we can speak to each other, where we can communicate like this over time and space. In an experiential, concrete way. The mystics have been doing this for eons, and now everybody can do it. I'm so grateful for that. I'm grateful that we live in a world where we can know each other and love each other and respect each other regardless of who we are, where we can hear and see what's happening in our lives in various parts of the world. I'm grateful that we live in a universe that responds to us according to our belief. And as I choose my belief in love and the power of love and the power of spiritual mind treatment and the power of knowing the truth, I'm grateful that the whole of the universe says yes. Yes to my intention and yes to my desire. Knowing that this is so, knowing that this is how it is for me and for anyone who even considers the possibility of it being true and real. And that's confidence and that gratitude. I can release this treatment now, allowing it to be the truth because it already is the truth in the mind that is the infinite intelligence. So I can let it be, and so it is. Love wins. Not always easy to believe that. Not always easy to see the evidence of it around us, but it's true. And it's real. So when I was a kid growing up, I absolutely loved living near the water and watching the tides come and go. I lived in a part of Florida that was really, really, really flat. Of course, all of Florida is flat by most standards, but that part of Florida was particularly so, and the county I grew up in was mostly swamp. About, I don't remember now, something like 68% was swamp. And the swamp bled into the marshes, which bled into the Gulf of Mexico, and it was, so there were no beaches. But it was amazing to watch the tides come and go, because when the tide would go out, there would be large areas, thousands of acres, hundreds of acres, maybe, I don't know, that were now above the water, out of the water. And you'd see all this mud and marsh and stuff that looked kind of lifeless, except you'd apparently every so often see something crawling around in it. But then once the water started coming in and it started coming up, you'd see all the little critters coming out of their little holes and coming out of the edges of the marsh and around the base of the marsh. And it just took on a whole new life. And then the tide would go back out. And, you know, when the tide was out, those critters were still there and they were still alive and life was going on. It just looked different on the outside. It looked different. Yeah. So as we look at this week's news, this week's trauma, this week's horror. For me, it was a horror. It takes a lot of work for me to get to a place of peace around these kinds of horrible things, especially where children are involved. And you know, I've seen some things on the internet and video and Facebook and all those places where we see all these things. That have encouraged people not to go back, not to find peace, not to find love, not to find peace, because that's not real spirituality. The truth is, it is. Because one can find peace, one can find harmony, one can find a place to stand, a place to rest in the midst of it that includes discontent, that includes spiritual motivation and guidance toward expressions that will change what's actually going on in the world on the outside. This teaching is about creating a world that works for everyone. And it's all about doing that from the inside out. CSL, the organization, that is our motto, creating a world that works for everyone, that recognizes the spiritual magnificence of each person. That's a tall order. I expect we'll be working on that one for a long time to come. And yet we're seeing and we're determined to see change and movement in the direction of a world that works for all, for everyone. So what do you do? Where do the answers lie? How do you find your way through this? And I'm mostly talking today, not preaching at you. Not that I choose ever to do that, but sometimes I do get wound up. But my point in this saying that is I really want a conversation. It's time for us to start talking about the business of creating a world that works for everyone and our individual parts in it and how that fits with the whole. We are part of a universal that we are connected to forever, can't disconnect from it, even in death, because in death we simply go to another form, to another phase, to another shape, but we're still full spiritual beings as part of that infinite, that universal. So what do we do? How do we do this? Where do we put in our energy, our attention, and our lives? You know, and what I know about dealing with the ocean, the Gulf, the Atlantic, whatever ocean you love, is that, you know, even that is interconnected with all of life. I used to think that the tides were about that the ocean was sloshing back and forth because of the spin of the earth. It just made sense because I'd seen it happening. And then later I learned, no, not sloshing, because it goes up on the various shores and back to the center. It's going this back to the center, out and back and out and back. Because of the pull of the moon, because of the interaction between the moon, between which is so far away, you think, how, what? As a kid, that was really hard to get my brain around. But here we are in this amazing, very powerful and very large expression of life that is bigger than the planet, that's bigger. So there are all these interconnections and all of these ways in which we connect and the ways in which we are influenced and influence one another in this quest for greater living, quest for freer living. And over the years, we've talked about it in lots of different ways and different languages. But today I would like to just remind you of a couple of things. First of all, that in recent history, there's a list going around on Facebook of 250 situations in which children are being shot at and shot in schools all across America. 250, and they're listed and named, including this latest one. And the person that sent that out and that shared also an article, Scientific American, said that from Scientific American, that there's a pattern to the people who do this, that there's a generalized anger that doesn't really have a place to go. And so the choice is either it turns in on them, they find a way to blame themselves for everything, they become so angry at themselves and often suicidal. But that's that anger, because anger is the thing that wants to externalize, it wants to express, it's an energy to help us get things done that we couldn't do otherwise. So it pushes out. And so that anger from at ourselves gets externalized to be angry at other people. And when that anger is powerless, when there's no one hearing it or responding to it or saying, this is a call for help, that child or that young adult picks up a gun and starts shooting. We've known for many years that the anger, that violence does not come out of helplessness. Violence comes out of that belief that we are not being responded to, that it has no power, that belief that it is powerless. And the last vestige of grabbing power is either to hurt ourselves or hurt someone else, because that's one place we feel perhaps we still have control. And for human beings, having that sense of control, being in charge of our lives is essential for living. So Science of Mind and this teaching of oneness says, because you can't separate what's outside and inside are simply reflections of one another, reflections of the same thing. The outward reflection of what's happening in our country is a picture of the inward reflection of what's going on in the mass humanity of this country. So the hate, the fear, the anger, all of that stuff. You know, we've been talking all month about these feelings and how to process and deal with them, but the fact that it's internal spews out, expresses out, and shows up in our world. There's an interesting quote that I saw this morning on the first thing I looked at on social media. Said, in a world where we constantly think about what's wrong and what needs to be fixed and what we're afraid of, why are we surprised that what we're afraid of just keeps happening and showing up? Because we have the power within us to change all of that, but that power has to start by changing us before we can fix them. If you don't like your weight, you don't go buy a new mirror, you change your weight. If you don't like your feelings, instead of trying to fix it out there so you won't feel this way, get rid of so-and-so or make this happen differently in the world out there so maybe you'll feel better. That's called codependency on a grand scale. The solution is to look within us and find the places where we can change what we think and how we feel. Now, yes, most of us would never think of picking up a gun and hurting anyone else, much less a room full of children. But that's about degrees. That's about how much anger there is, how much feeling there is, how much helplessness we feel. So there's things we can do within to help with how we're going to do out there. That came from Steve Farrell. He's the one who helped found and continues to carry forward the Humanity Team, which is a fascinating process on the web and emails and such. You may want to check it out. There's a lot of wonderful teachers and speakers that are available through that. But he talks about there are some ways that we can self-actualize, and that's an old kind of old-fashioned term now, but to self-actualize, not that so that I can be the best, but so that we together can be the best, so that I can actualize a greater idea. I can bring into action, bring into truth, bring into reality my idea of a world where children are protected, where children are held, where children are not harmed in any way, shape, or form, and are certainly protected from one another and other things, and themselves and each other. These guys, folks, mostly guys, all guys, who have done these shootings are average age of 18. Barely, in many ways, children themselves. So to find an alternative, to get the antidote, let's look within ourselves and create a better world. And there are basically three parts to that. And the first and really important one is well, they're all important, but the first one is becoming aware of who we really are. Not who the media tells us we are, not who religions, for the most part, tell us who we are. Not, you know, sinners needing to be saved and pulled back. Not evil, violent people, not people divided against ourselves. But who we really are on a deeper conscious level, on a deeper spiritual level, where we know and teach and believe based on some scientific work as well as long time spiritual truth, you know, that we are part of a unified field. That's the scientific term for it, a unified field of energy and information. Nassim Harriman is one of the scientists working with that idea. And as they study more and more of it, as the quantum physicists are looking at it, all of that, they come back to say there is within every cell of our bodies, embedded at the cellular level, that wholeness, that completeness, that goodness of the all of the capacities, all of the available power, all of the available truth, all of the available love, is there and available to all of us at the cellular level. The only way we get into these places is we don't recognize and accept who we are. We aren't aware of it. We've told too many other nonsensical things and for all kinds of reasons, quite often, but out of good intentions. Rumi said it a different way. Yeah. Rumi said, don't feel lonely. When you feel isolated and alone, the whole universe is inside of you. Stop acting small. You are the universe in motion, like the tides. Set your life on fire. See those who fanned the flames. In other words, not fire of rage and anger, but fire of energy and life and truth and goodness. Get fired up about good news, not just bad news. Get fired up about what you believe in and what you want and what you see, not what you don't want and what you don't believe in and what you don't want to see. You know, the whole world right now of algorithms is all about this business of catching our attention, either by fear or anger. So we are bombarded with those things which trigger fear and anger within us. And if we're not careful, we can get the idea that that distorted view is the truth of the world. But it's not. millions of children all across our world are being protected and cared for. That doesn't make it okay for those places where it's not, and those horrible things that are happening. But we need to keep in perspective that in the scale of things, there is still more goodness and love than there is horror and hate. That's why that song is so right on. Love wins. It always does. It's a stronger, bigger force. Hate is a distorted force of anger, and is a distorted force of love misdirected. So now becoming aware of that is really, really important. And then the next piece of it is to embrace that truth, that reality of who you are, that I live in a universal world of one power, and I can know how to live within it in a very effective way if I simply start changing how I think and feel about that. If I quit looking for the bad guys, start focusing on spending my attention with the good guys. Now, it doesn't mean I'm going to ignore those terrible things that happen. We get accused of that a lot, but it's not about ignoring. It's not about shuffling things to the side. It is about telling the truth when we see it and embracing, though, that deeper reality of who we are. You know, and sometimes I have some pretty angry stuff goes through me. Sometimes I get pretty frustrated, and this part of me will get triggered at times, and I will look for who should we blame here? Who's responsible? That's the other way to say it. Who's responsible for this? You know, right now with this thing in Texas, it's, you know, is it the mental health system that's responsible? Is it the guns that's responsible? Is it the family that's responsible? Is it the school that's responsible? Everybody's looking to point the blame at somebody else. And yet the truth is, if you have had feelings and anger and wanting to annihilate anybody or anything in by consciousness, whether you thought about doing it in the physical world or not, then you've participated in. And the more angry you get at those who disagree, and the more frustrated you get, the more you are embracing duality, two worlds, not one. And the more you're adding to that rage and anger in the general consciousness of the human breast, human beings. So instead, embrace the truth, embrace love, find a way to love. Imagine the pain and hurt anyone who would go to that extreme must be experiencing to do so. And have compassion and love for them. Not excuse, not making excuses, not smoothing it over, but at least having compassion and love. If you've ever been in a situation where you felt desperate and lost, because what that will do is that will heal that energy, that will bring that energy of love into a greater resonance, into a greater power in that situation for yourself as well as for them. And you embrace that also by embracing what is your inner call. What are you pulled toward? What is it that speaks to you out of all of these things? Who are you really, and why are you here? What are you about? We talked last week about your why. Why are you here? Because the answer to that question is far more important and will inform how you respond to these things happening in the world around you. They matter. You matter. And responding to those in a way that is powerful and real is what matters. And out of that call, out of that sense of what you're pulled toward, then you take action. Then you take demonstration. You demonstrate not from a place of trying to destroy something that you don't like or fix something that's wrong, but from a place of wanting to bring something that's right into the picture in a more powerful and useful way. We call that demonstration. Demonstrating is a result of changing your mind and thought, the behaviors. Some people are called to action getting involved politically. I was called to action many, many years ago, and have still participated in the action at the level of working with mental health, working with help, supporting and loving people into finding a better expression of themselves. Nothing thrills me more than hearing someone who has shifted out of that self-hate, that self-disregard, that self-damning into a place of self-love, to a place of finding that love that is for themselves, but in loving themselves can love more people as well, and finding power and success and lots of other offshoots from that. It's pretty amazing. In in the Book of Joy, which is Dalai Lama and Desmond Tutu, there is this quote: "The way through the sadness and grief that comes from great loss is to use it as a motivation and generate a deeper sense of purpose." I'm going to read that again. "The way through the sadness and grief that comes from great loss is to use it as motivation and generate a deeper sense of purpose." I am in the whole lifetime exploration of what it means to be spiritual and what spirituality is really all about as a result of the great loss of my father when I was 7. Think back about the things that have happened in your life where there was great loss, and notice how you were motivated to do something differently. And use that to activate that motivation, to get involved in a way that can change things, bring greater love, learn the signs of this with kids. I've been working with teenagers since my very first ministry in 1967. And I still do. I'm going to camp in a few weeks. And I'm like, you know, these young people are so open when they're open and so available to know better. And when you learn to see the signs, intervention at that point can make such a huge difference in somebody's life. Intervention of love, intervention of power, intervention of goodness. But it may not be yours. That may not be your call. Listen to what your heart says. Listen to what your inner guidance, your inner voice says, as a result of embracing who you truly are. See, you are more than the totality of all your experiences. You are more than your history. You're more than your family history, your racial history, your racial identity, your ethnicity, your gender, or any of that. You are divine, the divine, having a spiritual, physical experience in time and space. Now, that's a big idea, but not too big for us to embrace and find a way to live. It's not about going nuts. It's about standing clearly and fully in the moment with who you are and acknowledge that. Love wins. Harold sang it well. Love wins. But it's got to start with your love for yourself. We can only love other people as much as we love ourselves. We may not recognize the love we have for ourselves, but it's there. And the deeper and clearer we see it, not an egotistical kind of "I'm better than you," but true love for ourselves, recognizing and honoring ourselves, allows us the freedom then to recognize and honor others. And that's where the real power is. That's where the success is. The Center for Spiritual Living Midtown is all about that. We're all about supporting each other, teaching skills and spiritual practices that would allow us to multiply in our own minds, in our own hearts, in our own activities, and to live in the midst of all of this chaos without pretending it's not there, but also without being overwhelmed and driven by it. Instead, that which drives us is the commitment to life, the commitment to spirit, the commitment to goodness, and the commitment to a world that works for everyone. This is our truth. We stand with it because we are wonderful, and so are you, and so it is. Thank you. And now let's hear from the amazing Vance Blue, who is a board member and all around amazing person. Thank you. Go, Vance.
Thank you, Dr. Bob. What an amazing talk this morning to get us out of our head, into our heart, and loving. And we have an ability to share this around the world with everybody that needs to hear this message. And I want to thank everybody that does contribute, has been contributing, and continues to contribute. And we have an opportunity to do that now, and I just want to remind you of that. So with that, you say our affirmation of prosperity. I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow. And all that I share with life returns to me multiplied abundantly. And so it is. And there's a chance to you can use the QR code, or you can go to cslmidtown.org/donate, set up your donation, either a one-time donation or an ongoing donation, whatever works for you. And now, on to announcements.
All right, he says. He's right. Thank you, New Thought Network, for broadcasting this and supporting us by helping us organize what we're doing. Thank you, Diego, as the Diego Reyes as the guy who's doing that for us, Vance, who does the online work for our center. We are all gathering shortly after this broadcast on our Zoom call, on our Zoom meeting. If you'd like to join us, please come, because it's an opportunity to talk a little about what you've heard. Also an opportunity to meet some other people who are on a similar path and are looking to find greater love and greater support for one another through these times. So I invite you to join us in just a few minutes there. Next week, by the way, I will not be just online, and I will not still be in Mexico. I will be back in the U.S., and we will be meeting in person at the Garden Hill Center, Recreation Center in Atlanta. You'll find all that information on the website or in our newsletter. If you're not getting the newsletter, please be sure to sign up for it on the website. You can get all the stuff there that you need to know. So next week, we'll be broadcasting from there. So we will be online and in person, and we're learning that hybrid dance that takes a little more skill, and we're getting there. We are getting there. I'll leave it at that. So now, as we close, I invite you to join me in our closing affirmation. I leave this place now knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing that I have within me everything I need to create the life I desire. I give thanks for this understanding, and I am grateful for the spirit of life that lives through me. And so it is. See you next time. Thank you.